Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1. August the 13th through the 16th. I think it's this week, I believe, yeah. Let's see. It's going to be Dr. Ray Young is going to be there at Sheldon Baptist Church. And Tim Anderson is a pastor there. It's 7 o'clock each night. It's going to be through Thursday night. Through the 16th. Everyone that is. We just need to pray for that. Pray that the Lord will have his way there. We just need to remember that the Lord is everywhere. He's just not here, but he's everywhere. He's with all of God's people, and I thank him for that. I really do. But in Psalms chapter 1, I don't know if I preached this. I don't know if I preached it before, but I'm sure I probably have, but it won't come out the same if I have or if I haven't, because that's the way God's, I think that's the way God works, because his word never changes. It never changes, but it always has something new in it that we can grasp or hold to. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth her fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners stand in the way, or stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that you will give me the very words, Father, that you've laid upon my heart. And, Father, that we will preach what you have today. And, God, I pray, Father, that you will be with each and every one that's here today. And we pray, Father, you'll prepare our hearts unto the word of God today. And, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, if there's something that is lacking within their life, Lord, I pray, Father, at the end of the service, that they can come to an old-fashioned altar and they can just commune with thee, Father. And they don't even have to wait till the service is ended. Father, they can come any time and any day, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. The first four words right here, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Now, we know back over in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 was from the beginning of creation, God has wanted to bless men. He's always wanted to bless men. But We know that what come on the scene there after that. We know that Adam and Eve, they both sinned against God. So God could not bless and what they was doing right then until they come and ask for forgiveness. And it's the same way with our own life. The Lord cannot bless us if we have sin in our life until we asked Him to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us once again. Blessed is the man that is separated from the world. We have to be separated from the world. Everything that's outside of these doors, what God is saying, we must be separated to it. We must not go into it and we must not be of it. But we can be any world, but we don't have to be of the world. Other words, what I believe what he's saying there is, yes, we can go out and we can witness to sinners. I mean, that's who we got to witness to. That's who Jesus witnessed to. And where did Jesus go? I mean, he went to the places where sinners would come around him and where he was at. Just like the old harlot come there at the well. Did you think that Jesus just turned his back on her and left? Like a whole lot of times we'll do, because we know the type of life that they're living and we can't comprehend with it and we don't want to put up with it. We have to put up with it. We're going to have to put up with it as long as we're living here on this earth. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he never turned his back on no one. Never has. He didn't even turn his back on Judas, the one that would betray him, sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. He didn't, I mean, you think he was around? No, Judas walked with him. Judas talked to God. And that's the only way Jesus, and that's the only way us as individuals, as Christians, can build up the house of God and build up the kingdom of God, is for us to go out and to seek that sinner. Now, when God will place it on our heart, and I apologize to God. I don't know how many times I apologize to him. I have asked him, forgive me for it. That sometimes he's asked me. He has told me and he has pointed me out to where I need to go and see somebody. They're not in church. Well, oh yeah, they claim to be a Christian, but I know that they're not because of the lifestyle that they live. You cannot live a lifestyle like a whole lot of people live and say, yes, they're a Christian. You cannot say it. Because I honestly believe that an individual that gives the heart and the life to Jesus, Jesus is going to put something different in the heart and different in the life to where they can serve him and they will want to serve him. Why? Because they know exactly what he done for them. He paid the ultimate price. He paid their pardon debt. Their pardon for a life. And they can go home. Why? Because Jesus died for them. Jesus died for everyone. And it's up to us as individuals to do what we have to do. He gives us a choice. We can either choose him today or reject him today. And people out here, they know that because we preach that and everything. But people today that is in church, and I hate to say it, and I don't want nobody to get upset with me, but we need to watch out in what we do and what we say and everything, especially with people knowing that we're in church. We have got to live the testimony that God has given each one of us. And if you have a testimony for the Lord, he gave you that testimony. He gave me my testimony. And I have to live by that testimony. And I shall not want to break that testimony that I have with him. And I shouldn't. I don't want to. I want to do everything that he asked me to do. And I know that that is impossible. That is impossible for me to do it. Because I'm still in with the crowd. I'm still in with the society of people. I'm in with the world itself. I'm surrounded with sin. And we are more surrounded with corruption today than we ever have been before in our lifetime. Corruption is on every side. And when you have corruption, you have sin. And when you have sin in your life, you better watch out. Something is going to happen in your life that you have not expected yet. Well, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does it say? Blessed is he that won't walk with the world. Blessed is he, the ones that won't go with the way the world's going and hoping and praying that maybe we can win them over. That's just like I've said many, many times. When a couple gets married and you have one that's a Christian and saved and the other one that's a non-Christian and they say, well, she's not a Christian, preacher. I mean, you'll go and you'll talk to them, and you'll ask them, are they both Christians? And one of them will say, no, I'm not. The other will say, yes. Unequally yoked. They're not yoked up to the same individual. One is yoked up to Jesus Christ. One is yoked up to the devil. They say, well, preacher, when the other one's left and everything, and you beside yourself and everything, and you talking to them, and they say, well, preacher, I just want you to pray for them. I want you to help me. Pray for them that I can get them in church. Help me pray that I can get them in church. It's not 100% certain that they will. But 9 times out of 10, the unsaved is going to get you saved out of church. I mean, that's the way it is. You know why? Because see, everything else like that, it looks good. We can go right out here right now, and we can get out in the parking lot and look around. Man, look at all the beauty. Look at all of this right here. Yeah, we can get wrapped up in people. And when we get wrapped up in people, we are not separated from the ungodly. And we need to be separated. And that's hard. That's really hard. That's hard for a Christian to go and do what Jesus done. And that's to go where the sinner is, to where the ones that are bound by Satan in his grasp. But yet, if we have the Lord on our side, and if we ask God, say, God, I know that somebody's asked me to go and visit this individual. But Lord, I've been by the home. They not never at home. I mean, I don't know if you're working all the time or what. And if they're not working, I don't know where they go and where they stay at. Because they're never at home. The Lord said, well, you do know where to work at, don't you? Some people say, well, you should not go to somebody's place of business and talk to them like the Lord. If God tells you to go somewhere to a place of business and talk to them, they'll invite the Lord, you better go. Because if you don't go, you're going to pay the consequences. You're going to have that individual's life in your hands. They're not in Jesus' hands. They're in the devil's hands. Plus two, you don't put them in your hands. So God has given you the right to go. See, we cannot argue with God. And I know a whole lot of people today, they say, well, I can't argue with God anything. I'm not going to argue with him, but I can't go down to the work because I know if I go down now, the boss or supervisor will come out and say, well, you can't do this. You can't do this. That's just like somebody coming up to me in a restaurant and said, I noticed that you bowed your head and you said, you was praying over the meal. I said, yes, ma'am, sure was. Do it every time. Do it, yeah. You can't do it here. I said, well, it was my choice to come here. But since you say that I can't pray in your presence, in the place of business, where I spend my dollar bills that I work for, I don't have to come back. Well, no, now we don't want you to do that now. Just come on back. You know, just, if you do pray, just don't let it be obvious that that's what you're doing. Well, when I thank the Lord and when I thank him over the meal and I say grace, I'm going to bow my head. And I'm just not going to say it under my breath or where the other individuals that I'm sitting with can't hear me. I'm not going to holler it out, no. But I'm going to pray over my knee. I said, I have that right. And you have the right also to tell me I can't. But I also have the right to take and spend my money somewhere. And I said, if you would allow that to go on, and what you are permitting, where nobody can come in and pray over the meal, I say within 6 months, you'll be closing the door. You may be in 20 or 30 years. In 6 months, you'll be closing the door. Why? Because somebody come in and love God enough that they're going to pray over the meal. And God said, well, if he can go there, and if he don't mind praying, and he prays over the meal and everything, and I know he's doing it, and they say, no, he can't do it, they come out there, and they fuss at him every time he does it and everything, I can send him somewhere else. I can go somewhere else. Oh, it's another restaurant up the road. No higher price-wise. But yet you go there and you're in a Christian fire. But people pray over the meal. See, we do not, the Christians itself, do not, now, if you take them, you get a hold of that. Do not now support the Christians that is running businesses. We won't support them. Why? Because they may be a little higher on the menu and on the food. But yet they got the help in them. And they treat the help with decency, and they will allow people to come in to pray. You can go into that and you'll notice other people coming up and say, hey, how are you doing?
They stand there and sitting at the, other people still sitting at the table and everything. They'll shake the hand, shake the man's hand. Shake the man's hand. The man knows something was in his hand, or he felt something, he didn't know what it was. Then the man, they get up and they leave, him and his wife, or him and his family. They get up and they go to the restaurant and everything. And they're going to pay for the meal. They had no idea what the meal was going to cost them. But see, God did. God knew exactly what the meal would cost them. Man, get up there. Oh, man. He gave me $100. Thank you, Lord. Bless him today. Bless him today. And see, the Lord will not only bless you, any other individual giving you the money to pay for the meal, but God is going to bless him 10 times over. What the word says, that's what the word says. It says, I'm not just going to bless him one time. He went out of his way, and he did not know them people. And he went out of his way to show his kindness and to show my love to the people.
Blessed is the man that giveth his time. Blessed is the man that not only gives the time to other people and going up and speaking to them that he does not know. And I tell you, now I've had people just to come up and, I mean, they look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, sometimes I knew them from somewhere. That's what I always tell them. Whether I know them or not, I tell them. I say, I know you from somewhere. I've seen you somewhere. Then I come to find out after talking to them and everything.
Usually time, I end up going to school with them. And it's been 30, 40 years since I've seen them.
We always should have something to say to the people that will let them know, yes, there are still a few good people around. Because people today are looking and they say, they just here to use me. Oh, they invited us to church, but they just want us to come to church down there. They just want my money is what they want. No, I don't want nobody's money. I just want to get in the house of the Lord. I just want to get saved. I just want to get serving the Lord. And if he starts serving the Lord and get saved and everything, hallelujah, they saved and serving the Lord, then you don't have to worry about what they're going to give. You ain't got to worry about this and that's going on at the church or anything like that. I mean, I'm gonna say something right here, and please, I just want y'all to remember that, you know, I'm going to wait and see, and I'm an individual that's, you know, that I need to wait. Sometimes I ain't waited long enough on some things. But the family that's come, and he told me Wednesday night, he said, I may having to start working 2 shifts a day. And that's first and third shift. And the reason for that is because it's a lady there that's working. She's under me and everything. She works her third shift. Well, she's just letting everything go. She's not doing a job. And they give me the position that I'm over her. I'm over her and some others. And I'm after I already talked to her. Now whether she does anything about it or not, I don't know. But if she don't, I'm gonna have to replace her. Because the company itself, they don't want to pay for somebody that just comes in and just going to be there and that's it and don't work, a deadbeat. And that's one thing that I have never really, since I've been a Christian, that I have never worked in the public. I've never worked on a public job and went back and asked the individual that I was working for that hired me, went to them and asked them any way that they can give me more money. Because it wasn't up to me. It wasn't up to me to go and ask them for more money. I took the job on the money, what they had offered me. It was then now it's up to me to show them that I can go the extra mile or two above what they expect. And if they any kind of boss at all, and if they trust the help and everything, you ain't got to worry about it. It may not be the raise that you want. Hey, I've got a 5 cent raise. You think I fussed about it? No, I just thank God for it. I was working at Goodyear on second shift when me and my wife met. Second shift. Then 3 months later, we got married. And after I got married, I was still on second shift. Well, second shift just wasn't for me. I wanted first, but I knew I won't never get it. Because of all the people that was there before me. So I switched over to third shift, and I kind of enjoyed that third shift. But they was, after the strike that they had back in 1970, that summer of 1970, when they had the strike, stuff went on in the union and everything that I just said, forget about that $25 they're going to give me for a week. To go in there, and I gotta walk the picket line at least twice a week for $25. Not me. I mean, they was going to the windows of the people and threatening their car, threatening the people that's going in to work, where the wives would be driving them, driving the husbands to work, and they would come over there and they would go to the driver's side, and one would be over there and one would be on the passenger side, and they would threaten. Says, if you go inside, we'll get you when you come out. We'll get you when you come out. Because we know where you live at. They did not threaten them with one time. And his wife that was driving his car, she just reached down beside him. And she just picked up her pistol. And she pointed to him. And she pointed to him. He said, either you're going to get out of my way, and you're going to leave us alone, or somebody ain't going to get hurt. Says, I'm not going to lose my home. I'm not going to lose everything that me and my husband has worked for over your stupidity.
Now, if you don't want to work, that's fine. You don't have to work. But my husband's going to work. And she says, that's not me. And one of them looked at her husband and said, yeah, uh-huh. Says, you're going to do exactly what she said. You're going to henpeck, henpecker and all that different. He says, no. I got a home. I got two kids. I got vehicles that I got to keep up. I got a home that I got to pay for. And I got kids that need some things, needs clothes. They need food on the table.
He says, she didn't give me no ultimatum. Because I'd already made the ultimatum to my own self. That it did not make no difference what went on outside in the picket line. And he belonged to the union.
When he went back inside, he went inside. That week, he went to the front office. And he told them there in the front office. He says, you know that I'm in a union. And you know that you're taking out $25 a week, or $25 a month for me to be in a union. Right now, I'm no longer affiliated with the union. Do not take out another red cent to go to the union. The union has corrupt the United States more than it's ever helped.
But I ain't gonna get off on that. But I'll tell you one thing. When I went there, I mean, praise God, they didn't give me no raise, and I wasn't making all that much money. I was making $2.63 an hour. That's what the minimum wage was back in 1969.
That's come a long way.
I mean, you know, you take care. Be praying for you. But I was with what I was making. $2.63 or $2.69, I forgot which it was now. But it won't $2.70. And I was tickled to death to have that. But I'm gonna tell you what. When I got saved, I got the biggest raise that I've ever had in my lifetime. I got the biggest raise. I got more inheritance waiting for me than I ever thought I'd ever have. Why? All I had to do was just believe this book. And what did it take? It took faith. That's all it takes, is faith. We put so much faith in everything else. Just like coming to church this morning when we left our home. I went out there and I got in my automobile. My wife was over on the driver's side and she put the key in the switch. And she cranked it up. It cranked. I didn't go out there and look at this battery and see if somebody went out there and took the cables off the battery. I didn't go out there and look and see if anything had been missing or something like that. I had more faith in that battery and I had more faith in the car than I do in the Lord. Oh, well, left the house, my wife driving, and she drove. She drives pretty good. I mean, you know, I ain't gonna fuss at her driving. Only time I'm gonna fuss at her because she won't let me drive. But that's beside the point. But on saying that, There was one, two, three.
Three or four different bridges that I had to cross. Each one of them bridges that I crossed was built by man. I did not get out there, and when we was driving down 265 or 29, and when we got to the first bridge there, I didn't tell Shelby, "Shelby, you pull over right here." She said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I gotta get out and I gotta inspect the bridge. See if anything is wrong up on there. See if any of the pulls is kind of got a great big old crack in it." Then I drive and she'll go cross out. Everything looks good, she'll go cross out. The next bridge ain't probably as far being a highway from that one. And I tell her, "You pull over. I inspect it, doesn't it? All right. I don't know about this one, man. This is a little long. I got to inspect this real good. Can't you see me going out there and stopping at each and every bridge? And getting out of my vehicle and going down there where up under the, down in all the brush and everything, and down there to inspect the bridge?" If you knew that's what I was doing, and if you followed me anytime I go to the bridge, me and my wife would pull over. Or my wife went with me, and if I was driving, I'd pull over, and I'd get out of my car and go and inspect the bridge. Before the end of that day, I'd have a place there in Petersburg. Not in Danville, but I'd have a place in Petersburg. Why? Because they would think I was crazy. Well, when you think about it, it's not all that crazy. Why? Because when I come this morning, I come across every bridge. I put my faith in mankind that they knew what they were doing when they built that bridge. And when they paved the highway, I put my faith in mankind that they knew what they were doing when they asphalted this highway, when they built this highway. Not only that, and when I come here, and when I walked into the, when I went to the door and I unlocked the door and I walked in, I put more faith in man that raised this building than I do a whole lot of times with God. And that's not right. I'm not supposed to put faith in nothing else with God. I don't need to have faith to tithe. I don't have faith. I don't need to have faith to be faithful to God's house. I don't need that kind of faith. Why? I'm saved. On the way to heaven. And I've read this book. And God tells me that that's not what I need to have faith in. I need to put all of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In God the Father. And if I put all of my faith and then whatever goes on, I hear that man has a portion of dealing with it. He gonna give me the faith to go through it. He give me the faith this morning for us to drive over them bridges. Because if I'd have stopped at every bridge and I'd have inspected them, I'd have been late. We'd have had to start having services at 12 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock. Because I'd have had to inspect the bridges. I'm not going to inspect no bridges. That's foolish. Or is it? When you're talking about faith. Is it foolish? No.
Is it what we do? No. Do we put all our faith in the Lord? No. I don't. I'm being honest. I wished I could a whole lot of times. I wished I had more faith than I do right now. But blessed is a man. The sin of this world, the sin that's outside of these doors, will do what to me and you? And to our fellowship with one another. It will corrupt us. It will interrupt our fellowship with the Lord. It'll interrupt it with God. And it interrupt with the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but to the world, and visit somebody that is not saved, and they in a place that we know that they shouldn't be in. But if we know they shouldn't be in there, we do not have the right, and we do not have the authority to say anything to them about the reason they're in there. When we go into someone's home and visit them, when we walk into their home, we do not, nobody gives us a right. Even God does not give us that right to condemn what their house looks like, to condemn them of what's laying around, condemn them what they've got in the refrigerator. They know that. They know what they got. I mean, if I walk into a place, if I walk into somebody's house and everything, and if I walk in and I see a tall, a fifth, there's a liquor bottle there, and half of it's empty and everything, hey, I see it. He's not ashamed of it. Why? What has he got to be ashamed of? Think about it, man. What's he got to be ashamed of? See, he's walking with the devil. He's walking with the devil's prayer. But here it is. I'm going out and I'm visiting. And I'm just visiting myself. I just thought I'd come by and just invite you to church. You know, I'm a new pastor at the church. Well, I've been pastoring for a couple of years down there. And I've seen where you moved in the neighborhood. I'd just like to invite you to church. Well, see, preacher, you know that I can't. No, I got to get my life straight. No. You got to get your life straight. You can't straighten your life out. Nor could I. See, that's left up to God. That's left up to God in that book. Because when I'm in that book, when I read that book, God speaks to me. He don't speak to nobody else when I'm in and reading it for myself. He speaks to me. When you're in it and you read it for yourself, God speaks directly to you through His Word. Through His Word, He'll speak to us. But see, when I went to go and visit that individual and I walked in his house and everything, and I seen where he's got that liquor bottle on the table, half full. Yeah, it's going on in my mind that he drinks and everything. But it still does not give me the authority to say anything to him about it. The only thing God wanted me to do, invite him to church. Because see, God's Word says over in the book of Romans, I believe it is, chapter 10, down there, an individual that gets saved has to hear the preaching of God's Word. Amen. Just somebody out here just telling somebody something else
No, they need to come to church. They need to come in and fellowship with other people. Yes, and they will feel uncomfortable. Yeah, naturally they will. But see, what I should do, as soon as I leave their home, I need to ask God. I said, God, please help me map for the environment that I was in. But I went and I invited them to church. You say in your word, where Paul wrote it down, that you said that for you to get saved, you have to be under the preaching of my word. And I'm supposed to just ask God to forgive me, confess of what I was just in, of in all the filth and everything that was going on there. But see, I did not have the right to go in and condemn them. Because if I went in the right and said that, oh, you should be drinking. You should be drinking this stuff. That stuff won't kill you. I had a brother. He used to drink it. And then dying with it. I had a half brother that drank it. And he died with the same thing. I want to ask you something. Would they come to church? Wouldn't even think about it? Why? Because I went in there into their castle. And basically what I said, you're living in a dump. Hey, I don't know what they have in their life. They may not have all what I have or what anybody else has. But what they have, they feel like it is the very best of what they could afford. Now I know some people say, well, she'd be buying that liquor. I mean, he got kids and everything. He should take his money to buy food. I know that. You know that. God knows that. But see, with God's help, we'll get them in church. Then we leave that up to the Holy Spirit. We leave that up to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had already started working on them. Why? How do you know that the Holy Spirit started working on them? Well, when I went to visit them, says to me, they ain't in church. Had no thought of going to church. But when I left, the Holy Spirit was starting bringing up a little something that I may have said that really, to me, what I feel like was probably nothing. But to that individual, it was all he needed. In other words, he needs somebody just to come, be there, and look at it, that there's somebody. I'm somebody. You're somebody. They're somebody too. But the thing about it is, when it's somebody, what is it somebody? Who are they serving? Who are they serving?
Are they serving God? Are they serving the money? Are they serving the automobile that they have? Are they serving the home that they have? And anything like that that you serve, you're putting it before God. God needs to be number one. God needs to be number one in my life. He needs to be number one in your life. And I know some preachers, they will use it the same way and say, you know, God needs to be number one in your life. But you also need to be in church, and you need to be faithful to church. That's not the way God ordained it. God ordained it all the way from the beginning of time. God is number one. Family is number two. That's the reason if somebody that's out sick and they need some help with that and maybe consoling or whatever, nobody will ever hear anything from me about, well, you're just serving devil. You don't want to come to God's house any hand today. No. They are doing it the way God ordained it. You are not supposed to put church. You're not supposed to put this building before your family and your God. So, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, see, that's the way God ordained it. Because look at the years that had passed since Adam and Eve. Since Adam and Eve, look at all the years that had passed to the book of Acts. And I believe it's in chapter 2 where the church was established. Where the church was established. Now, I know the church, and y'all know me too. When I speak of the church, I don't speak of this building. I speak of the individuals. We have church here at 4341 South Boston Highway, Ringgold, Virginia. There's a building here that says Faith Baptist Church. But that's all it is a building until we come in. And once we come in, once any one of us that come in that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and has redeemed us by the renewing of our mind, body, and soul, we don't have anything. If that's the only thing, if that's the only thing that we think about the church, if we think about the church, is this building. We're not thinking about God. We're not even thinking about even how God saved us. We're not thinking about that. Well, preacher, I know what you're talking about, but you know, you can kind of look at it kind of different way. Yeah, you can take it by, right. You can take it a different way. There's not a scripture in this Bible that I could not take and explain it away the way it would mean nothing. We have scholars out here every day that does it. We have scholars that comes on TV every week that does the same thing. They will destroy this word. You don't even know how I can tell you they'll destroy it? Because they'll come up to you and say, well, you know, you can go to in the book of Deuteronomy or the book of Numbers and everything, and you see what they say right there and everything. You know, you can kind of look at that and say, that's not exactly what it really means. That's not what it's saying. Well, and they say, God missed the whole emphasis upon the verse there.
And it got the people confused of where they pinned down the verses wrong. No, no, it didn't either. No, it didn't. Everyone pinned down this word. And everyone that pinned down the word of God, they're settled there in heaven. And it's a whole lot more to hear. It's more of the gospel than what we can say. I believe we could take up, if God would allow this church, the people here, to be able to focus the eyes on the Word of God that's settled there in heaven. Did you realize this building, this sanctuary, the basement, the fellowship hall, the garage up there, even all the cars that we have, and even that stacking it up in the parking lot would not contain it all. See, God just give us a little glimpse of what He wants us to know. Because see, God knows that we have that little mind, that little finite mind. They're so small that if we think about it, we just forgot it all. Every word here is true. Every word is true. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, chapter 22, 21. Even the outside of the book, because it says Holy Bible. It's got the word Holy Bible. It could have just Bible there. We don't just have Bible Bible. It says Holy Bible.
Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I mean, right here, in the very front of my Bible here, it has got down here the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And right up under that, it's got to present it.
Then down below that, it's got two. Then it's got by. Then on the next line, it's got 19 of them. But then they got a line under the two and a line under the by. And a line under the 19. That's His book. That's right there. It's holy. Why is it holy? Because it's in God's Word. It's just not just the verses that here. Because see, we have verses all through Scripture here. We have verses all through the Bible. Even right here it says, the Scofield Study Bible, the Holy Bible, contains the Old and New Testament, the authorized King James Version. See, this right here is not the original. It's not the original because it was authorized. It's a version of the original. And who was it authorized by? God Himself. The word here. Every bit of it is true. It's not a lie in here. It's not a mistake in here. But boy, people today, preachers today are trying their very best to tear it up. I mean, we even had some good old, used to be some good old independent fundamentalists. King James, devil hate, preachers and pastors like him. Then we tear His word all up because of what somebody else has told them, what they've heard somebody else preach. They don't even know what somebody else preaches. If I get in this book right here, if I read it, God, he says, my word is settled there in heaven. It's settled there in heaven. It's in the Old Testament. It's not in the New, but it's in the Old Testament.
So it's settled there in heaven. It needs to be settled in our heart. That we can put stock in the Word of God. And we don't have to look at it and say, well, I don't quite understand that. What the reason you don't understand it? Because you ain't never had to go through it. If you ever have to go through it, you'll understand it. Why? Because God's going to give you what it says when you need it. I mean, that's just like, why in the world would God allow my wife and my daughter to go home at lunch and fix up a great big meal that had nothing but chickens when the chickens is not going to do anything for us? Because you know what they're going to do for me? I'm going to take them, and I'm going to take them to the woods and I'm going to throw them out. I don't like them. I mean, I smell of them. They don't eat them. So why should I take that and why should I feast upon that? It's not going to do me no good. If anything, it's going to make me sick. And I'm going to lose everything that I've had on my stomach for the last probably 6 months. So why do I need that? I don't need it.
But if it got down to the point that we had nothing else in the house, we couldn't afford anything else, that's all it was. That's all it was, chickens. We had them down in the freezer. And we went to the freezer and we looked. We didn't have nothing else there. We didn't have no other frozen food there. We didn't have no vegetables there. We didn't have no canned food in the cupboard. We didn't have nothing there. We didn't even have nothing to even drink. The only thing we had was just water to come out of the spigot. We didn't even have no ice to put in the water to make it cold. Yeah, you live on water for a little while. But you also got to have some nourishment for the body. And for the nourishment for the body, is the nourishment that you're giving where you can digest it, to give you strength, to give you the ability to stand and go. But the inner man, the spiritual man, we can feast on the Word of God. And we don't have to feast on every verse tonight. You can take one verse and you can take it and you can chew it, you can eat it, and it tells us that we need to chew it and we need to eat it. In other words, we need to digest it. I think it said there in the first chapter, in what we read, it was speaking about where the tree was planted by the water. And leaves fadeth not away. Why? Because see that tree that was planted. It had some healthy roots on it. When God planted that tree, the tree started growing. It took root there. And it was getting its nourishment from what? From the water. Just like the nourishment that the vegetables we get today is from the rain that God gives us. We need to be planted by some spiritual water. Like I said, I don't know, last week or two, 3 weeks ago, but last month, I don't know when I said it last, but I think I've said it down here. We as individuals, we as a church, as Faith Baptist Church, we need to get together ourselves right here
And we need to come into close together, and all of us need to say that I sure am glad that I'm under the spout where the glory of God pours out. And it pours out on me, and it'll pour out on you, and it'll pour it out on everyone else who comes into the house of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and eyes closed, we pray, Father, this morning, God, and Father, that what was preached, Lord, that we can all take it, and we can take it and look at it, and Father, that you can take it and you can rearrange it to each one of our hearts in a different way, Lord. Father, that we can get something new and afresh from it this morning. And Father, we go to our homes this afternoon, God, I pray, and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just give us a good afternoon. And Father, we ask now that you may bless the food that each one of us partakes of this morning at our home. We thank the one, Father, that's prepared it. And Lord, we thank you for saving our soul. Father, I pray, God, for the lost today. I pray for the people that's not in church. Lord, that they can know that they can come. And I pray, Father, that you'll put it on the heart that they will come. Yes, I'm no fancy preacher. I know that, and you know that, God. But I will give them the word of God. And I know sometimes I do make mistakes. I do say some things that's wrong. I don't mean to. But I just do ask you to forgive me for it. And Father, we just want to thank you. And we want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty.